Today on Real Life Radio.
Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all that the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper in whatever you do. Church, those are your verses to hang on to for this entire year.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's very special New Year edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now delivers a message called The Great Put-On. You know, in this coming year, we really have to get tough spiritually by putting on the full armor of God to battle against bouts of depression and to get vigilant about the attacks of Satan. So today, in this very special New Year message, Pastor Jack tells us that in 2023, we really need to soldier up as a Christian, to put our emotions aside and to fight the good fight of faith as we share our lives and testimony with everybody around us. And now, in his message called The Great Put-On, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
This is part two of a message, and we're calling it The Great Put-On. And the great put-on is that we're talking about putting on the armor of God. And what does that mean? And what was Paul thinking about when he wrote to the church at Ephesus regarding the armor of God? Paul's exposure to Roman centurions. You know, listen, we love Paul the Apostle. And if he walked in the room, we would probably have to really get control of ourselves to keep ourselves from, in a sense, being tempted to worship the guy, because he was the living epitome of what it is to be a Christian. But little do you remember that that epitome of being a Christian did a lot of jail time. I mean, he had a rap sheet on him, and that was for obeying the Lord. He went to jail numerous times, but during those jail sentencing that he experienced, God spoke to him and he wrote what's known as his prison epistles. And you gotta be thinking that as he speaks to the church at Ephesus regarding this list of armament, that he's probably chained to a Roman guard and he's looking at the sword and the shield, he's looking at the helmet. And if that's not the case, he was certainly aware of what these gladiator type, Russell Crowe, you've seen that movie? That's a great depiction of how they were armored up. And Paul lived in that world. And he looked at it and he said, that's how the Christian needs to live. And he began because he thought and looked at things spiritually, as you and I should, that what he saw in the natural world, he translated and interpreted through spiritual eyes. And that's always a great thing. But before we get into that reading, I want to draw to your attention great verse for the year. Psalm 65:11 says, you, that is God, crown the year with your goodness and your paths drip with abundance. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. That's a verse you ought to grab onto. I know personally, I'm going to give you three passages of scripture. These are my go-to verses for the year when I have got the wind knocked out of me or I need to refocus. And maybe it'll be a blessing to you as well. Psalm 65:11. And of course, this is a go-to wonder. It's Jeremiah 29:11-13. God says there to all of us, for I know the thoughts. Remember this now in 2022. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then, I love that. Look at verse 12. It's so awesome. Because verse 11 is true, verse 12 begins with, then you will call upon me. And go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's a key to your spiritual success in this year. And then finally, you guys, it's Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. I want to preempt what I'm reading by telling you that Joshua must have been a very, very faithful young man. He proved himself with Moses. He became Moses' assistant. And yet he was a man just like all of us. Why? Because constantly in the book of Joshua, God speaks to him and says to him, don't be afraid. Why did God say that? Because Joshua was prone to being afraid. God's going to say to Joshua, be of good courage. Why did God say that to Joshua? Because he was prone to not being courageous. Do you find yourself weak? That's a good thing. Find out where your strength is. That's a very, very important thing. Verse 5, Joshua 1. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. You thought that was a New Testament verse, didn't you? Wow. Look at verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people, Californians, you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all that the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper in whatever you do. Church, those are your verses to hang on to for this entire year. Well, as we get into this, there'll be a little bit of recap, but we'll finish off this study today. Number one, we saw that we are to put on Christ. That as we go now into this new year, the number one thing is to put us off. Listen, the Bible says to put off the old man. That's the old temptation, the old person, the old Jack, the Jack that used to live in this world, the Jack that used to live for Jack. Whoever you may be, that's who you lived for. Every day as believers, we've got to put us off and put Christ on. And we saw that beginning in verse 10, that we're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might and to put on the whole armor of God. Number two, we saw that you and I are to put on what's tough. Put on what is tough, meaning get control of your emotions and your feelings and stop being so sensitive about what people say about you, because we've got to woman up and man up. We got to soldier up. And we got to stop allowing the world to intimidate us. Okay, you can't do that. You cannot fight the Christian fight if the world says something about you and you wither like a little flower because some stranger posted something about you. Listen, note to self, go ahead and have social media if you can handle it, but don't read the comments. Because 100 people can compliment you and you won't be able 5 minutes later to quote any one of what they said. One person will say you're ugly, and that's the person that you're going to remember for the rest of your day. Is that not true? Come on, come on, come on. It's totally true, isn't it? Absolutely true. The way that the enemy works against us and the way that our flesh works against us is that we somehow gravitate to those things that wound us. And we need to be very careful to put on Christ and to put on what is tough. And that is learning how to walk in the Spirit. And we learn that we're to stand against the wiles of the devil. We learn that that word means methodology, that the devil has a method on how to attack you. Now watch this. The devil has a method as how to attack Peggy. He's got a method on how to attack me. He's got a method on how to attack Mike. He's got a method. And listen, a lot of it runs in the same genre, but there's some outliers. And the main attack is pretty dependable. But Satan studies you. And he looks for those areas of your life whereby he will track you. He'll hunt you down and he'll wait. The wiles, the methodology of the devil, he will stalk you and watch you for hours, sometimes days, weeks, months. Maybe he figures out a plan, even years. But we need to get tough. And we saw that against this attack that is spiritual, we have the ability by God's grace to wrestle against these spiritual entities. That the Christian experience is one where we battle spiritual attacks that manifest most often, not always, most often through physical people or things. Not always. Sometimes you can be having a just perfectly fine time and everything's just dandy, you know? And yet there'll be some strange depression that comes over you and it's unexplainable. The believer is prone to all of these things. One of my great heroes in the faith is Charles Spurgeon. Whatever Charles Spurgeon wrote, you should read it. But did you know that Spurgeon had severe bouts of depression after he became a Christian? He didn't have the depression bouts until he became a Christian. And he explains them, and they were dark, sinister, hopeless feelings of being alienated from God. God doesn't love me. God's really not going to save me in the end. When I do die, I'm not going to make it. He had all the thoughts. Recognize those thoughts? They're on the tip of the arrow of Satan. We need to get tough against those things. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, we learned that we're to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's for real, and we want to slay him. We saw also that the great put on is that we're to be firm in verses 13 to 14. We need to put on what is firm. This is a discipline. It says in verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able, listen to this, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, verse 14 says, stand therefore. That's the command given to every one of us who name the name of Christ, listen carefully, in this year to come. You and I need to stand, and we need to stand together with one another as a church. This is a big church. Forget about the size of the church. It's irrelevant. How many times have I told you, get to know the people that are around you? There's like, I can get 10 people in this circle right there. If all 10 of you began to get each other's names and pray for one another and realize that, listen, we're going to be going into battle this year. We need to be linked up together. We need to be talking. You ought to start asking each other out to breakfast or lunch or whatever, and really become friends and share prayer requests. Maybe you only see each other on Sunday morning, but listen, after service, meet for a moment in the parking lot, or go to some place, or whatever it is, and link together. We cannot survive the year to come if we just come here on Sunday and go and isolate ourselves. We've got to link up, because we're at war, we're in a battle, and we need to be able to fight the enemy. And listen, we'll learn from this armament in a moment that there's a reason why all the armament is forward-looking. The soldier here in Ephesians 6 has no armaments in the back end of himself. His back of his legs are not covered, his rear end's not covered, his back's not covered. Think of that. We'll talk more of this in a moment, but we need to be firm, and we need to make decisions that are the best thing for our Christian growth. I understand the feeling, well, honey, don't invite them over. I'm tired. I talk to people all week, and then come on. No. Just say, honey, remember that Sunday sermon? I love you, dear, but we're going to invite them over. We're going to do this for Jesus. And you know what? 10 minutes after they show up, you're glad they're there. God does that stuff. It's amazing. And then we learn in verse 14 that we're to put on what is right. Put on what is right, having girded your waist with truth. Do you remember that, you guys? We'll put an image up there. It started with this. Everything about the armament is regarding the waist belt. And this is a great image, but it doesn't do it justice. Because the word in the Greek, look at the leather. Don't look at the sword. Don't look at the sheath. Don't look at his ring. Don't look at all that. See the belt around him? Now, this one's wrapped around twice, and that's okay. But the real word means that there's numerous wrappings of the belt of truth. And this is key, because on the belt, the warrior would have everything brought together. The belt was connected with the breastplate. The belt provided opportunity for him to keep his implements of warfare close at hand. The belt kept it all put in its place. And notice that is the truth. To get belted up for this new year, you need to know that it is putting on the truth. And the truth is the word of God. And the truth is what directs you and guide you in what's doing right. And this is where we ended on New Year's Eve. And that is in verse 14 that we put on what is bold. Bold. Now, I had to qualify that because bold in the world is gross. I think you'll agree with me. Brazen. Bold. Is very unattractive. Somebody needs to tell somebody. That's not attractive. It's ugly. Why? Because worldly boldness is arrogant and ego. I'm talking about the boldness that's represented in the Bible. When the Holy Spirit came upon Peter, for example, he spoke the word of God with boldness. This is the boldness that comes from God. Verse 14 says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And this is amazing. Church family, listen. You enter into that breastplate of righteousness. You go into it. Listen, I went into this jacket. You went into your clothing this morning. Did you not put on your clothing? You went into it. The breastplate of righteousness is a righteousness that's provided by God, not you. This is what's great about Christianity. You don't make your own breastplate of righteousness. That's called legalism and that's called works. And it's unacceptable to God. God provides the righteousness for you to step into and put on because as you learned on New Year's Eve, that's Jesus Christ. Jesus gave us the righteousness by going to the cross and being resurrected from the dead. So here we go. We pick it up. Number six is that we put on what is ready. What's ready? Verse 15, it says there, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Having shod your feet. So what's implied is that there are, you may have boots on and you may have protection on, whatever you do have on, this goes over that. And it gives you not only protection, but it allows you, because you're protected, it allows your feet to carry the entirety of who you are into this new year. And I love the fact that you're to have your feet shod or wrapped with the gospel of peace. Number one, the gospel of peace, the word means you now have peace with God. So this is an aha moment right now for all of us. It means that whoever the Christian soldier is, and I pray that it's all of you here right now, that the Christian soldier now has peace with God. You understand that? Ladies and gentlemen, keep this in mind. To have peace with God means you're no longer at war with God. You're not contending. There's no more friction with God. You may call yourself a Christian today, but you're always battling with God. Think of a kid in a family, but they're always arguing. They're always fighting. You need to put that down. And God has promised you his peace. Secondly, how can you give out peace if you have no peace? You cannot give away what you don't have. And the beautiful thing is the gospel brings peace. But you've got to be able to be a true believer yourself. Now, watch out. This is going to sting a little bit. It stings me. It stings you. It stings us all. But the truth of the matter is this. The soldier, the Christian in complete armor, according to verse 15, is someone who shares the gospel. Now you listen to this. This is important. And I say this in love. If God has transformed your life, then God has transformed your life. That means you've got something to say. You say, well, Pastor Jack, I'm not a preacher. I didn't ask you to be a preacher. Well, I'm not this, I'm not that. I'm not asking you to be this or that. But have you experienced Jesus Christ in your life for real? Now watch, listen everyone. And again, I don't say this to upset anybody. If you do get upset, then it's probably the Holy Spirit saying, fix that now. And that's a good thing. But if God has touched your life, you could be like Helen Keller and communicate the power of God. And she did. If God has touched your life, you say, I'm not vocal. Then write something. Pray. Get out there. Listen, I promise you, starting today, If you say, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
If you guys say today, I'm going to ask God, I'm terrified, but I'm going to ask God to open up doors for me to share the gospel of peace with someone. If you pray that prayer, God will open the door. And he's so good because he'll make it just right for you. And you'll share. And your mind will be blown. And the person that you talk to will be blessed and challenged. And you will be experiencing the readiness of being able to present the gospel. Because let's be honest. How many of us have ever eaten or gone or done something that's so cool or fun? And you don't tell anybody about it? See? I'll submit to you a high probability that those who have really been touched by God are the ones who know they have to say something about what God has done. If that's not happening in you, then this is the Sunday for you to change that. He wants to transform you. And you want to be ready. You go outside the door of your house. And you're ready. God will stir your heart. But if you have that peace of God in your life, you've got something to communicate. Father, as we stand today on the threshold of a brand new year. Last year's gone. It's over. It's in the history books. So there's not one thing we can do about it. It's over. This year is before us. We can do anything. And Lord, as believers, we choose to follow you. So Lord, with our hands lifted up, I ask you, Father God, in Jesus' name, that you'd bless these people. I pray, Lord God, as your word says, now to you, Almighty God, you're the one who is able to keep us from stumbling this year and to present us faultless before your presence in glory with exceeding joy. It's you, Lord, that we're asking you to bless us and to keep us. Lord, that you might make your face to shine upon us. Lord, that you might be gracious unto us, and Lord, that you might lift up your countenance upon us and give us, Lord, your peace, your shalom. Father, may we leave this building today an energized and transformed people. And may we look to the cross of Christ where he died for our sins there, and Jerusalem's empty tomb where he rose again from the dead. Our Savior lives, and because he lives, we shall always live with him. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a holy new year.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his very special New Year's message called The Great Put On. Thanks for being with us today, and Happy New Year to you from Pastor Jack and all of us here at Real Life Radio. You know, our prayer is that in 2023, we'll all be able to stand together in the truth of God's Word, firm in our faith, and full of contentment that can only come from knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It really, truly has been a great joy sharing our Real Life Radio program with you this past year. Thanks for welcoming us into your home, into your car, into your life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, Pastor, I'm looking forward to this new year. How about you?
I got to tell you, it's certain. I've never been more excited about a year like this year to come than in my life, to be honest with you, because of what has happened in recent years. God has done amazing things.
Yeah.
Ever since, you know, 2019, and just each year has been amazing. So I'm looking forward to 2023. I'm expecting radical, awesome things from the Lord. So yeah, that'd make me happy, Davey. It's always a great, great thrill to see what God's doing.
Absolutely. Thanks, Pastor Jack. And from our team here at Real Life, Happy New Year. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.